So we now know our first two quarter-finalists. The Halters remain on course for an extraordinary third title in a row after seeing off one of the competition's favourites.
Casemiro's shot is deflected, and that has surely taken Real Madrid into the quarter-finals of the UEFA Champions League, and it's all falling apart for Paris Saint-Germain.
Meanwhile, at Anfield, it was a slightly more subdued affair as Liverpool coasted into the last eight at the expense of Porto, with all the hard work having been done in the away leg.
Full time at Anfield. It's finished on the night, 0-0. But Liverpool, of course, so good in the first leg in Portugal. They have managed to make it through to the quarter-finals of the UEFA Champions League, courtesy of a 5-0 aggregate scoreline.
So all the best analysis and reaction from both of the evening's encounters to come as we hear from Jordan Henderson and James Milner. Plus, we'll hear from Mauricio Pochettino as we look ahead to Wednesday's round of 16 second legs, with Tottenham looking to see off last year's finalist Juventus at Wembley and Manchester City in control against Basel. So stay with us right here on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. Welcome to the show. I'm Rob Daly, and I'm joined by European football expert Andy Brassel. Andy, two teams through with many European Cup titles to their name.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, with Real Madrid, on the form of the last couple of years, it's no surprise. The way they've risen to the challenge, despite their domestic difficulties, is something we've almost come to expect from them. And Zinedine Zidane, I think, has really risen to the challenge in this tie. But with Liverpool, I think it's even more interesting, because we talked about them as a possible under-the-radar contender just in the preview pod to this, actually, with the UEFA Champions League after the draw for the last 16 was made. And, well, they justified that and more with their display over the two legs.
Certainly did, and we'll get Andy's further thoughts on whether Liverpool can go all the way. Just a reminder of the classified results then from Tuesday. Paris Saint-Germain 1, Real Madrid 2. That's a 5-2 aggregate victory for the defending European champions. Liverpool 0, Porto 0, 5-0 on aggregate. Jurgen Klopp's side progress to the quarters. We'll begin with that match of the Parc des Princes, meanwhile, where the Halters, Real Madrid, had a 3-1 first leg lead against Paris Saint-Germain. The second leg was watched by Mike Shule.
Left edge of the area, Vasquez to the back post, Ronaldo! The away goal from Real Madrid negates the one scored by Paris Saint-Germain in Spain. And that really has put Real Madrid in the driving seat. It's Paris Saint-Germain 0, Real Madrid 1. And it's who else but Cristiano Ronaldo. Oh, and Verratti's got to be in trouble here. He's already been booked. And now he's getting a red card. And Paris Saint-Germain have got an even greater uphill task. Curls in the cross, deep towards Thiago Silva. Knots it down, headed on the stoop. Oh, and it's gone all the way in. Ooh, maybe there is a little bit of hope. It's a glimmer. But it is hope for Paris Saint-Germain. Vasquez cuts it in. Rabiot plays it to the edge of the area. Casemiro's shot is deflected. And that has surely taken Real Madrid into the quarterfinals of the UEFA Champions League. Casemiro with the goal via a deflection. And it's all falling apart for Paris Saint-Germain. Paris Saint-Germain 1, Real Madrid 2. Real Madrid lead 5-2 on aggregate.
Paris Saint-Germain go out of the competition after their first home defeat of the season. Alongside Andy and myself is Mike Shule, the commentator for the game. Mike, a little on from full-time, your reflections on what we've seen in the French capital tonight.
Well, Paris Saint-Germain were dominant and at times unplayable for the majority of the group stages. Well, tonight they met their match in Real Madrid, and the defending champions basically handed what was a potentially tricky tie really intelligently. I mean, they adopted the perfect game plan, they defended with an assurity and a solidity that stifled Paris. And when Cristiano Ronaldo rose to head in that goal in the 51st minute, Paris were left needing three goals. But I think all hope was lost when Verratti got sent off 15 minutes later for that moment of petulance. And from then on in, it wasn't going to happen. It was going to be Real Madrid sauntering almost into the quarterfinals.
And while you have to admire Real Madrid's performance from the neutral perspective, the second half was very disappointing. As you say, it was so finely balanced at the halfway point. And you wonder how different it would have been had Kylian Mbappe squared the ball for Edinson Cavani at the end of the first half rather than taking the shot himself. Of course, Keylor Navas, who didn't have that much to do in the end, was definitely the least busy of the two goalkeepers coming down to make a good save, but he would have had no chance if it had been squared for Cavani. And Cavani looked one of the most frustrated figures, I thought, this evening. You know what you're going to get with him. He's not just a great goal scorer, but he's someone who leaves it all on the pitch, as they say in South America. And he did that again tonight, but so much running for so little reward ultimately.
Well, let's break this down, starting with Zidane's team selection, because the Marca, all the papers in Spain, normally so informed, Mike, were saying it's Cruz, it's Modric, it's Bale. It was none of them. And Zidane, a man who we still question his tactical ability as a head coach, even after two trophies in this competition, pulled something special out of the bag to contain Paris Saint-Germain.
He contained the media as well by suggesting or implying that both Modric and Kroos were going to play. But in the end, it was Mateo Kovacic who played in the central area and Lucas Vazquez who played out. Well, I thought Vazquez had a really good game tonight. But Kovacic to play alongside Casemiro was excellent.
Let's hear from Mateo Kovacic, delighted to be in the last eight with Real Madrid.
Of course, we wanted to win this game. We didn't thought about the result from the last game, and I think we had a really good match, and that's really important to win this game. And it was a difficult game. Paris is a very good team, and they play a nice football. But we had a good game, and it was important.
Mateo Kovacic there. Andy, I think you mentioned it ahead of kickoff. It was the kind of game where you couldn't play midfielders who weren't at 100% because the pace, and we saw it, the intensity, might use the word, in the first half was just going to be too high to not be fully cooked for this one.
Absolutely. And that's why Kovacic played such an important role. Of course, Casemiro was excellent, as he always is in the UEFA Champions League. But he had to get through a lot of work, Kovacic. I mean, we talked about Zinedine Zidane wrong-footing the Spanish media. L'Equipe, on the other hand, the French newspaper, got the 10 out of 11 right. The only one it didn't get right, they thought they'd risk Modric instead of Kovacic. And what a good pick that 11th player was.
So why did Zidane do this? Is there anything other than the fitness of those players involved? Was it to try and contain, as has been suggested elsewhere, that to contain the width that was in that Paris Saint-Germain side?
Yeah, I think it was. And I think the pick of Yuri Berichiche instead of Lewin Kazawa was a nod to the fact that Real Madrid would try and counter in the wide areas. That they tried to do that so emphatically with Lucas Vazquez, who you always get a brilliant shift from, as well as being a very creative player, I think was key. And as well as Marco Asensio, who made such a difference in the first leg, that was always something that was going to put a bit of doubt in Parisian minds, I think, and that certainly was the case. But this was brave, because the last time that Real Madrid lined up with those two wide guys on the road, I mean, they had an absolutely fantastic match at Real Betis, and they won, but they conceded three goals. So, we're talking about high-stakes poker here from Zinedine Zidane. He's a guy who's not seen as the most expressive coach, but realistically, this is someone with absolute nerves of steel who proves it again and again in the UEFA Champions League.
Absolutely did. And Mike, your task with trying to find something original to say about Cristiano Ronaldo, 102 goals in 96 games in this competition for Real Madrid alone.
Wow, that's an incredible statistic, isn't it? Just before he scored that header, he had another header which he had from around the penalty spot, which was just wide. But even though he wasn't necessarily their best performer on the night, he still created the openings, he still stretched the defence, and then to pop up when he did from the Vazquez cross just shows how important he is. We said it before the game, Andy mentioned that he's just coming into the season now, almost like he's just been gradually building and building and building and priming himself for the prime moments.
Well, it's an interesting thing, isn't it? If you go back to the start of last season, he didn't play until September because of injury, and he went crazy in the knockout rounds of the UEFA Champions League and finished the season more strongly than he had in perhaps three or four seasons. Now, again, because of suspension, after being sent off in the Spanish Super Cup at the beginning of this season, kind of started the season late. maybe that works for him. Maybe this is a guy who in his 30s needs an extra long summer holiday, and then he makes every bit of the end of the season count. Because by his excellent standards, he wasn't terrific in the 2014 and the 2016 UEFA Champions League finals, even though he did get on the score sheet in Lisbon and he scored the crucial penalty in Milan. He was impeccable in last year's final, and maybe he's going to be so again in this year's final.
Do you think he's pacing himself, do you think? He's 33. He's pacing himself across the season. Given the type of player that he is, he can't necessarily do full campaign as he could before.
He accepts being rested, which he never did before, and it's very, very difficult for someone like him. But I wonder if Zinedine Zidane is one of the few coaches who can do that with him. How many other coaches would Cristiano Ronaldo accept that from?
Not many, I would suggest, if any, other than Zinedine Zidane, who he has great respect for. On to Paris Saint-Germain, where does this leave their project? Is that too profound a question to ask? The UEFA Champions League has been the aim the whole time. Big money, Neymar, Mbappe out in the round of 16.
Well, like I said, I think they need to think about team balance. Certainly in midfield, they just weren't good enough tonight. And Thiago Motta has been a wonderful player for them. He's 35 years old and was pressed into service a little bit underprepared. The chemistry wasn't right with that midfield, who haven't played much this season. They lost the ball too much. Verratti and Rabiot were way below their best. And, you know, we know they're two terrific players. So they need to think about that going forward. And, you know, eventually Barcelona became more and more compromised in the UEFA Champions League as the team, which had been such an incredible collective, just became a means of feeding their front three. Now, Paris's front three, when they're working and fit, and of course they did miss Neymar, are even more complementary than MSN, I would argue. However, they can't let themselves get into the situation where they're just the front three and eight other players. That's something they've got to work on this summer.
And the discipline costs them ultimately as well, Mike. I mean, exemplified by what happened with Verratti midway through the second half.
Yeah, I mean, it's even though they went the goal down and it meant that they had to score three goals, they were still in the tie at that point. It was early in the second half. But the fact that Verratti got sent off unnecessarily, OK, the frustrations were building and all the players were showing it, Cavani was showing it. But at that particular moment, he gets up, he runs towards the referee and does something just really not the kind of response you want from a player when you want to try and get back in a game like that, and he gets himself sent off. And it left Unai Emre, for example, with very little option. I mean, he had Draxler and Diarra on the bench, but what could he do when he's only got 10 players out there against Real Madrid who were playing the game so well?
Absolutely. Pressure on Unai Emery. Tough night for Paris Saint-Germain. It finished. Paris Saint-Germain 1, Real Madrid 2. Real Madrid into the last 8. Next, let's go to Anfield. Liverpool held to a 0-0 draw by a gutsy Porto side, but they do progress 5-0 on aggregate, courtesy of that superb first leg performance in Portugal. Dan Roebuck, I guess for Liverpool it was about competitive minutes and no one really getting injured, staying sharp ahead of Manchester United.
I think it was. Jurgen Klopp talked ahead of the game about keeping momentum because Liverpool are in brilliant form at the moment. They are third, of course, in the English Premier League at the moment. And you would have thought, given the troubles of Chelsea and Arsenal at the moment in England, that they will probably qualify for the Champions League by way of a top four finish. So it's going to be interesting to see how he balances playing in the Premier League with the UEFA Champions League over the course of the next month or so. But Liverpool players didn't really have to do anything tonight, as we know, because Porto were beaten in the first leg. So it was about fringe first teamers potentially making a mark, just reminding Jurgen Klopp that, yeah, there are more players to Liverpool's lineup than just the exalted top three that we've been talking about over the course of much of the season and the Fab Four when Philippe Coutinho was part of it. And I think those players that came in tonight, the likes of Moreno, the likes of Lallana, to a lesser extent Gomez and Matip, because you could make a case that they might be in anyway, but there are certainly players that have reminded Jurgen Klopp that he has got a very good squad here and one that potentially could go all the way in this competition.
Yeah, James Milner might be arguing that. We'll hear from him in a moment. But first, the captain, Jordan Henderson.
the next round, which is the most important thing. Obviously, you wanted to win tonight, but I thought you got to give credit to Porto, who came and played well. So, yeah, we wanted to win, but overall, got to be pleased with how we've gone through to the next round. But we've got to keep going, keep working hard and putting in performances like we have been, and then the results will follow.
Yeah, you know, we've played better this year, but it was important that we started pretty well first half and didn't let them get in front and into the game, really. So I thought first half we were better than the second. Second half, the game pitted out a bit and we didn't play as well as we know we can, but it's job done as far as we're concerned. It'd be nice to have played better, but ultimately we're through to the next round.
So, Dan, from the Porto side, there was a sense that they were just trying to keep it together pride-wise to make sure they can close out the rest of the season. Of course, they rested a number of players. You look at five starters from the win over Sporting domestically were on the bench this evening. What do you think they got out of this evening? Because they saw quite an interesting image at the end where we had the whole squad in a huddle in front of their fans, of Maxi Pereira giving a speech to them and Sergio Conceição and all coaches listening to it. So what do you think they'll take away from Anfield?
It's an interesting one, isn't it? I think the fact that we've had such a long time between the first and the second leg has probably worked in Porto's favour. They've not got too down about their situation. They've continued going along in top spot in the league. They've managed to make it through to the semi-finals of the Portuguese Cup as well. They beat Sporting in the first leg. They've got that second leg to come. So it was important for them to not get beaten again 5-0. It was important to make sure that the team spirit and the camaraderie was right. I think they were helped by some brilliant fans as well. And the Porto players really appreciated that, going across just acknowledge the fact that they got such tremendous support throughout the game. The Porto supporters never stopped making a noise at Anfield. They were a real credit to their side. So they have got an awful lot to play for when it comes to domestic competition, those two competitions, the League and Cup. So it's not all over for them. Obviously, from Liverpool's point of view, in terms of silverware, it is Champions League or nothing, because they are out of the English FA Cup and they're not going to win the English Premier League either. So I think what Sergio Conceição has done, he's managed to turn it around, try and make a positive out of the situation that they're in. He's tried to compartmentalise what happened in that first leg, and I think in that respect he's done pretty well with it.
There was a nice moment at pre-match as well, Tam, where Iker Casillas was walking out for the start of the game and he got a round of applause from the Kop and applauded them back. His 167th game in the UEFA Champions League. Might have been his last tonight.
Might have been. He has played in this competition more than any other player, and it's a record that you would like to think will stand for quite some time, although you never know with one or two of the stars we've got in the game at the moment. But he made a couple of good stops, one stunning stop to deny Danny Ings. He's 36 years old, as we talked about previously. He's not going to be extending his contract at Porto. Could he go somewhere else and play in this fantastic competition? It's unlikely. He might be second choice somewhere, but he's still got plenty to offer. And the Anfield crowd, as they usually are in situations like this, they're knowledgeable, they know exactly what his situation is, and they're also very receptive to him. He's played there before with Real Madrid in the past, and it was great to see them giving him a standing ovation.
Absolutely right. Dan, we'll come back to you for your man of the match before the end of the show, and if you hear from either of the two camps as well any further. So Liverpool through, Andy. First quarter-final place in 9 years. Also worth mentioning, Lallana and Danny Ings getting lots of minutes and getting some sharpness ahead of the remainder of the Premier League season. But from Liverpool's perspective, you were backing them to do very well before the round of 16. Do you think that there'll be a little bit of Jurgen Klopp thinking, we could reach that final, we could go all the way, it's not beyond us to do so?
Yes, and I think he should be positive. And of course, especially with the exit of Paris Saint-Germain, you could argue they have the best front three left in the competition.
Oh, Andy Brassel said it. Let us know your thoughts. Hashtag Matchday Live coming up. We'll look ahead to tomorrow's round of 16 ties. Tottenham host Juve at Wembley. Manchester City against Basel.
Everyone can enjoy football, no matter who you are, where you're from, or how you play. Equal Game is a new UEFA Respect social responsibility campaign that positively promotes inclusion, diversity and accessibility in football throughout Europe.
You're listening to Match Day Live with Andy Brassel and me, Rob Daly. We have two more round of 16 second legs on Wednesday night in the UEFA Champions League. Starting with that fascinatingly poised tie between Tottenham and Juventus at Wembley, it stands 2-2 after the first leg in Turin, and Spurs manager Mauricio Pochettino wants his players to make the most of this special opportunity.
We are going tomorrow to enjoy. We know very well that we are going to play with one of the best teams on Europe. But we are a brave, brave team, very positive people that love the challenge. And tomorrow is a massive challenge. We are going to compete and in the same time trying to enjoy, because it's a game to enjoy.
The thoughts of Pochettino there, the Tottenham manager. Richard Connolly will be our commentator for their game against Juventus, and he joins us now. Richard, Dele Alli said it as well, this is the acid test for how far this Spurs team has come. But we already know, compared to the team that we saw in this competition last season, they are massively improved.
Yeah, they are. I mean, they're transformed. I mean, you've mentioned it, the results that they've had, the three goals they scored against Real Madrid, what a night that was at Wembley. The three goals that they'd already put past Borussia Dortmund. I mean, that's proof enough. But you can hear, I think, in what Dele Alli was talking about, the shift in mentality this season. And in the clip there from Maurizio Pochettino, how often do we hear managers say that they're talking to their players, not to the fans? And he was saying there, we are a brave team, we are a positive team, don't forget it, lads. Because, you know, Spurs, for all that they are, a terrifically energetic side and a young side that's built a season on season under Pochettino, they haven't won anything under him, and Juventus have won plenty, year in, year out. And if it gets to the last 10 minutes and it's 0-0 on the night, and Spurs still have that slender advantage of the away goals that they got in Turin so magnificently, who is going to be the team that is confident of going through? That's the real test for the Spurs mentality. I don't think there's any doubt about the ability, but what will be in those 11 players' heads when it comes to the absolute crunch?
Now, Richard, you talked about Juventus and all their achievement. Part of that, of course, is the two Champions League, UEFA Champions League finals in the last 3 years. The time that they didn't make it in those last 3 years was when they went out to FC Bayern München at this stage, the last 16, after drawing the first leg 2-2. I mean, that for me is one of my favourite knockout ties in the UEFA Champions League of the last 5 or 6 years. Could we be on for a repeat? I mean, these teams look very evenly matched.
Yeah, I mean, it's the slenderest of advantages, isn't it? And I think because Juventus have been so solid defensively, for them to get that 2-0 lead so early on against Tottenham, and at that point they let in one goal in 16 matches in all competitions, Juventus, I mean, ridiculously good defensively. For Spurs to get two back against a defence of that quality, I think they would have been so pleased to have come back. You can see why the narrative is being painted that Spurs have done the hard work. But I don't really feel necessarily that that is the case. I mean, it's a turning point, the Higuain penalty for 2-1 to go 3-1 up, a turning point on the night in the first leg, but not necessarily in the tie. Juventus, I think, know that they will get chances. And Max Allegri's talked about being clinical, and it's that simple. And whoever can take, I mean, even one single chance will be enough for Juventus. I mean, they've won their last three matches 1-0 and six out of the last 10 1-0. It's the scoreline that Spurs will be fearing.
Well, they had one shot on target in Rome against Lazio at the weekend, and it was enough to win the game. How important is Paulo Dybala?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be huge. And, of course, he wasn't there in the first leg. You know, he has the X factor, the ability that, yes, one or two Spurs players have, but maybe not quite to the same degree that Dybala possesses. He may well be reunited with Gonzalo Higuain tomorrow. Higuain injuring his ankle back against Torino a few weeks ago, but is being talked about as being ready to return. No Mario Mandzukic, but yeah, I mean, Dybala certainly has the ability. He had the ability to put out Barcelona, didn't he, last season? He could have the ability to put out Tottenham again tomorrow night, most certainly.
Yes, one of the ties of the round. Richard, thank you very much. We'll have Richard Connolly on the show for the second leg of Spurs 2, Juve 2 at Wembley, full match commentary on Match Day Live. Also on Wednesday, will Manchester City defend a 4-0 first leg lead at home against Basel? Adam Summerton will be our commentator for this one. Adam, much like Liverpool, City basically there. What's the objective for them, do you think, on Wednesday night?
Well, I just think to complete the job, as Guardiola has been stressing, that they must be professional. They must almost treat it like it's goalless from the first leg. Although, of course, you know, nobody, we can't kid anyone here. You know, they need a Manchester miracle of epic proportions, Basel. And as you know, Raphael Vicky has said himself, it's almost daft to talk of a comeback. But there is pride to play for Basel, and they are a proud club, and they're also a club who domestically are struggling right now. They need a lift, and any sort of results in Manchester on the night, I think, could provide them with the sort of lift that they so desperately need to get their season back on track.
And Adam, could they have a slight advantage in the fact that their last two games have been snowed off, so they've maybe got a little bit more in the tank?
Yeah, well, they should be fresh, shouldn't they? Yeah, they had that postponement on Saturday. The FC Zurich game was hit by a power failure, and as you're alluding to there, there was another domestic game called off as well. But, I mean, it's alarming, really, as to how quickly that they've fallen in terms of domestically. Basel, of course, the last time they didn't win the league there was back in 2009, and young boys right now are 14 points clear at the top of the table. So, as I say, they need a pick-me-up, and although, you know, even the most ardent of Basel supporter would have to concede that their chances are slim to none, that, you know, that they could take a lot from a positive result in Manchester.
I suppose further good news for Guardiola is that Benjamin Mendy and Raheem Sterling both trained on Monday, especially that Mendy's back training. Of course, he's largely been injured since he arrived at Manchester City.
Yeah, he has, and I think it's a credit to Guardiola and his squad and his team as to how well they've coped without him, because I felt that he'd started the season exceptionally well with Manchester City, and I thought, if I'm honest, that he would be one of their key players going forward this season. So to lose him as early as they did was a big blow, for which they've recovered very well. We've seen Delf play in there. I mean, who would have thought that Delf would end up playing at fullback? I mean, that's incredible, really. And of course, Danilo has played in there as well, and they've accounted for his absence very well indeed.
Well, there is going to be a minute silence as well before the game tomorrow night, Adam, as there are across all UEFA Champions League and Europa League games after the sudden death of Fiorentina captain Davide Astori at the age of 31. You cover Serie A regularly. I mean, he was such a hugely respected figure in the game.
Yeah, he was, and he was a player who played in such a dignified way. And as you say there, Rob, I mean, he really truly was a very well-respected player. Began at Milan, where he came through the youth ranks, never broke into the first team, but spent a lot of time at Milan. So well thought of at Fiorentina, where he was, as you know, the captain, and at Cagliari as well. And both Fiorentina and Cagliari have actually retired the number 13 shirt, which I think is a really nice touch. But as you say, I mean, he is going to be so badly missed, and carried himself as a footballer, I always thought, with a lot of dignity and just a great man as well. From everything that you read from him, he was just a fantastic guy too.
Yeah, Davide Astori, a minute silence for him tomorrow in the UEFA Champions League. Adam, thanks for joining us. Adam Summerton will be our commentator for the second leg of Manchester City against Basel. City heading into the quarterfinals, you'd have thought. Liverpool already there. Jurgen Klopp said the damage was done really in the first leg against Porto.
I'm not sure. It was probably maybe not the most exciting game in the history of football. But we did the job. I think Porto did the job. They showed the reaction, obviously, and we. It was difficult to prepare after 5-0. I didn't have that situation too often. We really tried to ignore the first game and tried only to win this game tonight. That didn't happen, so it felt a little bit after the game. Not perfect, but we are in the next round, and that's the perfect result for us, and so we are really happy.
He'll do the job. Liverpool getting ready to face Manchester United next. Man of the match, Mike Scholl, from what we've seen tonight in Paris.
Defensively, very solid, but I'm going to go for Casemiro in midfield.
Dan Rope, man of the match from what you've seen at Anfield.
Adam Lallana completes 90 minutes for the first time this season. Did very well.
OK, well, that's all we have time for on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live on a night that delivered our first two quarter finalists. In France, Real Madrid eased into the last eight with a 2-1 victory over the much-fancied Paris Saint-Germain to seal a 5-2 aggregate win. And then in England, Liverpool completed the job against Porto despite an uneventful 0-0 draw at Anfield, progressing 5-0 on aggregate. From Andy Brassel, Mike Scholl, Dan Roebuck and myself, Rob Daly, it's goodbye.
Left edge of the area, Vasquez to the back post, Ronaldo! the one scored by Paris Saint-Germain in Spain. And that really has put Real Madrid in the driving seat. It's Paris Saint-Germain 0, Real Madrid 1. And it's who else but Cristiano Ronaldo. Curls in the cross, deep towards Thiago Silva. Nods it down, headed on the stoop. Oh, and it's gone all the way in. Oh, maybe there is a little bit of hope. It's a glimmer. But it is hope for Paris Saint-Germain. Vasquez cuts it in. Rabiot plays it to the edge of the area. Casemiro's shot is deflected. And that has surely taken Real Madrid into the quarterfinals of the UEFA Champions League. Casemiro with the goal via a deflection. And it's all falling apart for Paris Saint-Germain. Paris Saint-Germain 1, Real Madrid 2. Real Madrid lead 5-2 on aggregate.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.